Well, thank you, worship team, and I'd like to especially thank John Yee for helping us with our worship music today. I really appreciate that. You know, when I graduated from college, I graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree in accounting. And I looked for a job. I finally found a job with a small CPA firm. This job paid me $700 a month. I think most of you make that in a week. But I loved that job. I was grateful for it. I went every day to work. I worked very hard. Because I worked so hard and did such a good job, they gave me a raise to $1,000 by summer. And with $1,000, I could buy my own house. Isn't that amazing? But I went every day. I worked hard. I had energy. I had enthusiasm. I had purpose. But after 4 years in that job, I started to get a little bored. You know, my interest in my desire to go to work was starting to wane. In fact, I'd watch that clock at work just go tick, tick. It just moved slower. And I didn't have the same energy and enthusiasm. But then we had this great idea. Let's start our own CPA firm. And so my brother and I, we started our own firm. And I did exactly the same work I did before. But now I had energy, I had enthusiasm, I had purpose. Well, what changed? I had a fresh start and a new focus. Oftentimes in life, with our families, with our spouses, with our children, with life in general, sometimes it becomes routine. Sometimes we begin to lose focus and our energy and enthusiasm diminish. I think to some degree that has happened in our church, Northwest Chinese Baptist Church, today. And that's what I want to talk about today. You know, when you first came to worship, to worship service today, and for the last 15 years, when you came into worship, you saw this picture. Our church. It's a beautiful church. I remember 30 years ago when the 50, 60 people that were here wanted to build this church. Well, that's with the children. There's only like 25 adults. And I'm like, really? You guys want to build a church like this and spend that much money? Are you crazy? Because I'm the accountant. I can count and I can add. But they wanted to build it. And the members that started this church and built this building are from the baby boomer generation. We're the builders. We wanted to build, and our goal was to build this building and fill it with people. That was our focus, and there's nothing wrong with that focus. We have filled it. We fill it twice on Sunday. We have about 300 people on our campus on a Sunday morning. But as leaders, as pastors, as we've been talking over this past year and talking with many of you, we realize that our church growth has slowed. Our baptisms have declined. Our attendance has plateaued. And I felt that not only the pastors, but the members were losing their energy and enthusiasm. And so we as a pastors decided that it's time for a fresh start and a new focus. You saw a new bulletin. We finally changed it after 15 years. My slides are now going to be in white instead of blue that I've used for 15 years. You know how hard it is for me to change? It's very hard. But we need a fresh start and a new focus. But before we get to that, let's talk about two sets of scriptures. You look in your bulletin. As Christians, our lives are driven by two great scriptures. The first one is the Great Commission. The Great Commission. We all know this Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them right before he ascended to heaven and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You go, make disciples. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you until I come back and take you home. So this is a command. It's a commission. It is our job description as Christians. Go and make disciples. Now, being a disciple is more than just being a Christian or a convert. It's more than being a church member. Look at this definition of a disciple I would like to use today. A disciple is someone who learns from Jesus and lives like Jesus. We learn Jesus' teachings and we live out that teaching, just like Jesus did. A disciple is someone who has committed their life to follow Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. They had been baptized as a symbol of their testimony, as an expression of their faith. They remain in the fellowship and are taught God's word and God's truth. And then this disciple is then able to go out and tell other people about Jesus and make disciples. A disciple is one who can go out and make new disciples, whether they do it individually or working with each other. This was the pattern of the New Testament church. You know, Jesus only taught for 3 years, but he taught 12. He taught 12 disciples so that they could go out and teach 12 more each. In many respects, we have departed from this methodology. We have departed from this pattern. In most churches today, the congregation pays the pastor to preach, to win the lost and build up the saved, and the church members in the meantime serve as cheerleaders and spectators. Yeah, go, pastor. You know, we're going to cheer you on, pastor. And then when we get new believers and new converts, we give them the right hand of Christian fellowship and they join the spectators. That's not the New Testament model. We do that today to some degree. I think we're better than most. Many of you are active, sharing your faith and serving the Lord, but we can do better. How much faster our church would grow. How much more stronger and happy our church would be. How much more joy you would have if each one of you was focused on becoming a disciple and making a disciple together. So we're driven by two great commandments. The Great Commission, and the second one on your outline is the greatest commandment. Matthew 22:37, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The entire Bible hangs on this commandment to love God and love people. It's based on your relationship with God and your relationship with people. So I believe the way we fulfill the Great Commission to go and make disciples is by obeying the greatest commandment. The way we make new disciples is by loving God and by loving people. See, it's not like we're doing anything bad. It's like maybe we can do things a little bit better. And so after much study and prayer and conversation, the pastors and leaders that have been meeting over this past year have decided to design a simple discipleship-making process, a systematic process to help our church be more than it is. And that's what I want to share with you today and over the next 3 weeks, this disciple-making process. In fact, in the January business meeting, if you were there, we voted it in as a part of our church. We voted that our disciple-making process, our purpose statement, and our mission statement will be this, that we simply love God, love people, and serve others. Each statement reflects a step in the disciple-making process we want all of you to go through. It combines the great truths of the Great Commission to make disciples and the greatest commandment. The wording makes it clear. It makes it concise and memorable. I can remember this. I can't remember my mission statement. I dug it out the other day and found it in the bottom of my briefcase. And I'm like, really? That's what it was? You know? But we can remember this. In fact, why don't you say it with me? Love God, love people, serve others. Okay, close your eyes and let's see if we can repeat that. Close your eyes. Wait, I have to look one more time. Okay, close your eyes. Love God, love people, serve others. You know, man, we can remember that. We can remember that. We know it. And if someone comes up to you and says, "Where do you go to church?" And you go, "Well, I go to Northwest Chinese Baptist Church." And they say, "Well, what's that all about? What's that church all about? Why do you go there?" And you say, "Well, I go to see my friends. You know, or I go because I'm supposed to. It makes me feel good." No, you don't say that. You see, Northwest Chinese Baptist Church is all about loving God, loving people, and serving others. That is our purpose, that are our mission statement. And we want to bring people in who will love God. And then they will love people and serve others. So from now on, instead of showing the picture of the building, which is a great building, it's a wonderful building, that was our focus for many times. From now on, we will show a slide like this or one of the various other ones that we're here to love God, love people, and serve others. I'm going to repeat this over the next 4 weeks and over the next 2 years so much that you're going to get sick of it. And please stop saying it. No, I'm just teasing. But that is it. That's where we're headed. And so let's talk about the disciple-making process we want to implement into this church. Each step in the process is connected to a program in the church to help everyone move through the process. Getting connected to God is the first step. It begins with your relationship with God. So the first step in our process is love God in worship service. Hey, you're all here already. Hey, congratulations. You took the first step. But you know how many that usually should be worshiping with us that don't? You know, there are members of our church that live in town and don't worship God every Sunday. Wow, how much more they would become more like disciples if they loved God and worshiped Him in worship service. We love God through our worship. Our Sunday morning worship is our time of corporate worship. Our quiet time every day is our private worship. But we love God through our worship. John 4:24. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. We must worship God not just at the physical level, you're here, not just at the emotional level when you sing a song, but at a spiritual level. I think the spiritual level, we're a body, we're a soul, and we're a spirit. I think of our conscience. Our conscience when we connect to God. When we connect to God, the Holy Spirit tunes our conscience in to God. A lot of people don't hear God until they stop thinking about sin, because sin sears our conscience. The more our conscience is seared, the less we can hear God. When the Holy Spirit calms our conscience and tunes us in to God, we must connect to God to hear His voice. Only when we hear God's voice can we develop that intimate relationship of love. But we must also worship God with truth, with honesty. When you come on Sunday morning, you need to come in ready to worship God with truth. That means you stop pretending that you're something you are not. Maybe you're pretending to be a great Christian when you know you're a carnal Christian. You need to come in and stop pretending that you have no problems in your life. You need to come and admit to God that you need help. Maybe you need to come seeking God's will for your life. You're asking God to fill you. Maybe you need to just say, God, I love you today. God, fill me with your joy. Let's worship in spirit and in truth. So our goal as a church and in this worship service is to help you worship God through engaging worship music and a biblical message that will help you grow, to grow deeper in your relationship with God. See, it's all about relationships. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It begins with loving God. If your relationship with God is right, if you love God, man, it's easy to love other people. It's easy to serve people. But if your relationship with God is wrong, it's hard to even love your family, to be patient with them, care about them. It's hard to serve other people. We're going to talk about worship more next week. So the first step is getting connected to God. Make Sunday morning a priority. That's the first step. The second step is to love people in small group community. The second step in the process is to love others. So the next program we want you to be a part of, we want you to move into, is designed to help you connect to people relationally, that you develop relationships with people. The worship service today, it does not really connect you to people. You're here to worship God and connect with God. As you can see, everybody here in most worship services, they face one direction. You're looking this way because you're listening to the Word of God, or you're listening to the worship leader lead you in worship. Everybody faces the same direction. There's little interaction. Small groups, when you're the small group of people, it's a great environment to build relationships. Everyone sits in a circle and faces each other. You know, if someone doesn't, and my wife, if she doesn't look at me or she doesn't want to face me, I know there's something wrong with that relationship. But when she looks at me, she faces me or my grandchildren, I have a great relationship. So small groups are designed so you sit in a circle and face each other. See, when a person falls in love with God, when they enter a committed love relationship with God, he or she will start loving other people. So we encourage people to move, to commit, to grow as a disciple in a small group of believers. John 13:34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is what separates us from everyone else. Now, many of you are extroverts. An extrovert is a person who likes to be around people. They like to be around people and social gatherings because they draw energy from them. But I think many of you, most of you, are probably like me. I'm an introvert. I'm very content being by myself. I like to be around people. But if I'm around too much noisy people after a couple of hours, it drains me of energy. It's the opposite. And being an introvert I am, my family pretty much meets all my social needs. You know, my family, I can eat with them. I can go fishing with them. I can spend time with them. You know, on Sunday morning, I come and see some of you, my friends I've known for many years, and I'm good. You know, socially, relationship-wise, that's great. I don't need anything else. But guess what? That's not God's plan to making disciples. See, people come to this church looking for relationships. And we need to offer them healthy and holy relationships so they'll be happy. We need to engage in healthy and holy relationships to make us happy. We must intentionally connect with those who are not our family and our friends to love them, to help them become disciples. A small group enables you to do that. You get to know people. And when you get to know people, you get to show them their love. So first they get connected to God, they worship with us, and then we say, hey, come join us in a small group. We want you to get connected with some people that are going to care about you, that want to love you. 1 John 4:11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. No one has seen God, but when they see that you love them, they can see God. See, it's easy to just come and hang out with our friends and our families. And hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I love my family. I love my friends. But God says, we've got to go beyond. We've got to love our neighbor. We were made in the image of God, so our lives are incomplete if we don't love God and we don't love people. It says at the very end of verse 12, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Our love, His love must be given to us, and we must give it to other people, even the people we don't really want to love. And it makes us complete. This means it makes us perfect. It makes us mature. And a mature person is a mature believer is a disciple. Look at this next picture, our next slide. I don't like puzzles. You like puzzles? I look at this and I'm like, ooh! It's a 300-piece puzzle. If I started doing this, you know, there's not even any hint of what this is. Imagine even having a picture, you know, to go by. And, you know, so many pieces look the same. It wouldn't be easy to do. I'd start working on this, and after about 5 minutes, I'd quit and give up. You know, I'd just shove it back in a box and forget about it. This is a 300-piece puzzle. Our church has 300 people on this campus on Sunday morning. If you're a visitor, you're like this puzzle. Where do I start? I can't tell where I fit in because I can't see where I belong. That's why we need small groups. We need to connect to people, connect to worship, love God, and then we need to connect to a small group of people. Look at this next puzzle. You know, I tested my brother and I gave him this 12-piece puzzle. It only took him an hour. You know? Okay, Eddie, first turn them all so that they have the same side up, you know. When you're a part of a small group of 10 or 12 people, it's easy to see how you fit. You can tell where you belong after just a little while. Getting connected to others is the next step. We want you to join a small group. This year, our goal is to start more small groups. We're going to upgrade our small groups and invite you to be a participant in it. That's the next process, the next step. Many of you are in a small group. Many are not. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not a legalistic program. It is a loving program. It's a relationship-based program. We're not going to run around and say, oh, you know, you didn't come to this or you didn't participate in that. No. We're going to encourage you. We're going to love you to love God and love people. The third step, the third process is to serve others through ministry teams. The third step in the process, the next program we want you to be a part is to serve others, serve people in ministry teams, like maybe being on an usher team or teaching in a group. God's word comes alive when you serve. The experience you engage in enlightens you and inspires you. You know, every summer, Gary and Terry and Steve take people up to do missions on the reservation, and they go and they see lives transformed. They are energized. God's word comes alive. And then the next year, you don't have to beg any of those people to go up again. They want to go because serving God makes God's word come alive and real. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. The way we express our love for God when we have a relationship with God is to serve others. The way we express our love for others because we love them is to serve them and to serve others. Actions speak louder than words. Today is Valentine's Day. How many of you men have bought something for your spouse? How many of you, what will you do to demonstrate your love? You can just say, I love you, but they want something. They want to see some sort of action. Now, there's still, you know, boxes of candy in the men's fellowship. You know, my understanding is Gilbert brought those to share with us, and we're grateful for that. And I wanted to take one home to give to my wife. I haven't bought anything yet, but... You know, the jewelry stores are all advertising at Valentine's Day because they say what? Oh, if you love her, you have to act. You got to buy her something that sparkles. Actions speak louder than words. That is why it is important, in order to be disciples, discipleship is to take what we've learned and what we love and experience and serve other people. John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Now, most of us don't have to die to help people, but we can give up our time and our talents, our treasure, to help people to know that they are loved. Verse 17. If anyone has a material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. With actions and with truth. We love God, we love people, so now we're going to serve others. Love is expressed by your attitude and your actions. I hung out with my oldest grandson, Parker, and I took him for a walk while everybody else was eating. And I love being with him. And one thing I don't do is I don't bring him a toy every time I see him. You know, I don't try to bring candy and all that. I just want to spend time with him. And we were playing together. We were laughing together. Because my actions show that I love him. And the way the sun was shining, it cast our shadows. And so we're walking in our shadows. And then you know, he sees it and then he stomps on my shadow. When he does that, I see what he's done. I'm like, ow! And then I run over and stomp on his shadow. And we're just laughing. And you know, we're just doing stupid things. But my actions, my attitude shows that I love him. If we love God, we'll serve others. If we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we will serve them. So our goal at our church, we already have ministry teams. We already have teachers and leaders and ushers and people working in the office. But we're going to organize that into ministry teams to provide service opportunities for you that you can serve other people. People experience God by working by God working through them as they serve and minister in tangible ways. So we're going to challenge you to join a ministry team and to engage in ministry over this next coming year. Maybe you'll teach the Bible. Maybe you'll be an usher or a greeter. Maybe you'll help with computers. Maybe you'll change diapers. Serve in a ministry. Getting connected to a ministry is the next step, the third step. Three steps. Now, this is not the maximum. This is a minimum as disciples that we should do. Worship God, love God and worship, love people in a small group, serve others in a ministry team. It's all about making connections. The discipleship making process that we're proposing, that we voted on, needs to become a part of the DNA of this church. The church, it will be ingrained in our culture, in our minds, in our membership class, and our budgets, in our constitution, all these areas. So because of that, the church voted also on that January business meeting these three statements. That the three main programs of our church will be Sunday morning worship, small groups, and ministry teams. Sunday morning worship, so you can come on Sunday morning and fall in love with God. That you can make a commitment to love God and follow Him. In small groups, we want you to join a small group so that you can love others in a small group community. We encourage you and expect you to join a small group where you can make a commitment to each other. You can try one group. You don't like it, it's okay to go another group. You know, we're not signing anything in blood. You know, you're not locked in for life. And then lastly, we want everyone to join a ministry team. You serve in a ministry team to impact the life of the other. That's the reason you serve. It blesses you, but you make an impact on another life. People are expected to find a ministry team, a group to serve with, and the church will provide opportunities, training, and direction. There's a tall order for the pastors and leaders of this church to get all this ready to help you to serve and to work. But that's our goal. That's our program. Three main programs, one for each phase of the process. They're placed strategically and sequentially along the process. Their goal is to move people from one program and process to the next in hopes that they will grow spiritually and become disciples and make disciples. So people who come to worship service, we are encouraging you to join a small group. Eventually we'll have a table, information booth out there to help you. People in a small group are encouraged to serve on a ministry team. These three weekly programs take priority over all other programs and ministries. These three programs need to be a priority in your life. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. When I talked about this a while back, some of you were probably thinking, well, that's it, really? That's it? A corny slogan? A corny phrase? I love God, love people, serve others. That's supposed to transform our church? I understand that. But imagine a church. Imagine a church where 50% of the people are worshiping God and loving Him on Sunday morning. And then they also get together during the week and love each other and laugh with each other and learn from each other and live for God. And then they also discover the joy and fulfillment of serving God. Their lives become richer because they're serving God. Maybe it's just because they're an usher and they greet a visitor with a smile that says, I love you and thank you for coming today. You know, we pour our lives into people to see them transform. It takes time. But imagine a church like that, even 50% are doing all three, or maybe 60 or 70% our church will transform. There's no choice. We don't have a choice when we do what God calls us to be. That would be a disciple-making church. You would be becoming a disciple. You'd be making disciples. But the question is, will you get on board? Will you talk to God this week and say, God, you know, if we're just using these three points as a judge, you know, worship service, small group, ministry team, you know, many of you are doing all three right now. You're growing in the Lord. And again, just because you do and participate in all three doesn't mean anything. Don't look at it from a legalistic point of view, but from a love relationship. Many of you know that, hey, you know, I'm not serving anywhere. Or I'm not even in a small group or that, you know, we have so much capacity to become a better disciple and make disciples. So my question for you is this next slide is, what is your plan for making disciples? What is your plan for you to become a better disciple? What is your plan? Do you have a better plan than this? Tell me, please tell me. A plan that you will be active in and participate in. See, it's easy to say, well, I don't want to do that. But you don't offer anything else. Or you don't say, well, God, I'm not going to do that, but this is what I'm going to do, God. This is what I'm going to do to become a better disciple and help others be disciples. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. What is your plan to become a faithful disciple? What is your plan to help others become a disciple? See, you must Be intentional. You have to be intentional about this. You hit what you aim at. This is our target. Look at this next slide. This target. You hit what you aim at. And I ask you, what are you aiming for in your life? Are you aiming to be a person who loves God? You worship Him sincerely? Are you aiming to be a person who loves people, not just your family and friends? Man, Jesus said, even the sinners love their family and friends. We're going to be different. We're going to go to the neighbors and the strangers and love them. Are you aiming at serving others through our ministry? See, if we just come, we have no aim, we have no goal, we'll just do what it feels good. Or we'll just did what we did before. We'll just repeat all that. On the other hand, if we set God-inspired goals and we aim at the target and we pull the trigger, which means we take a step of faith, we will hit our goal of becoming a good and faithful disciple. We will hit our goals of making disciples. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about this more. Over the year, we're going to be revealing more and sharing more. But today, I just want to ask you, what are you aiming at in your spiritual life? Are you even aiming at anything? Are you ready to line up your sights and to aim at this target that you know this is what God wants you to do? And hey, you might have to step up. You might have to step up to join a small group. You might have to step up. Many of you do too much. Many of you are running all over the place because you're too busy. Maybe you need to step back and step down and align your priorities and busyness with this process. You know, maybe you say, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore. I need to join a small group, or God's leading me to start a small group. I'm not going to do this other ministry. I want to start a small group. You know, what is God asking you? What are you aiming at this coming year? So as we go into our decision time, I want you to think about that. What am I going to aim at this year? What does God want me to be? Is this something I can embrace? Is this something that will help me? Will it help me to make disciples and be a disciple? You know, we're not doing this by ourselves. We do it together, and as a church, we worship together, we do small group together, we love together, we live together, we laugh together. And so what are you aiming at in the days to come? Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. You cannot become a disciple of Jesus Christ until you first become a believer. We need to make a decision, say, hey, I'm going to commit my life to follow Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I need Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I need Jesus to transform me. I want to follow Jesus. I want to learn from Jesus. I want to live from Jesus. I want to become a disciple. But you can't become a disciple until first you become a believer. And so today, if you're here today, you don't know if you're a Christian or not, I encourage you to say, Lord Jesus, I am going to make a commitment. I'm going to say yes to you and follow you and come here, worship with us. We will baptize you as a sign of your faith, and we will help you love God, love people, and serve others. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we know as a church, as pastors and leaders and lay people and members, we've been praying for this church. We know, Father, that you put this church here on this corner. You led us to build this building where we can gather, and now you have filled it with people. Father, I just pray for where do we go from here, Lord? How can we be more effective? How can we make disciples? How can we become better disciples? Lord, this disciple-making process, this mission statement you gave us comes from you. And we've worked together on it as a church family. And so we've committed to it. Now guide us in the next 2 years, Lord, how we can implement it that we may make disciples. Father, we just love you. We love people. We want to serve others. I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to enable our hearts, to energize our hearts, that we may embrace this, not as legalism, but of love and direction and purpose. So we worship you now, Father. We thank you for bringing us today. If there's someone here who needs to make a decision for you, I pray that they will open their heart and receive you as their Savior and Lord. Father, maybe my brothers or sisters are thinking about this and realize that, hey, I'm going to take aim. I'm going to set a target and a goal for my own life. I'm going to stop saying, I wish I could grow as a disciple, and start saying, I will, by loving you, loving people, and serving others. Father, we glorify you. We worship you now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our decision time. Maybe you're ready to make a decision for Christ to receive him as Savior and Lord. Maybe you just need some prayer and encouragement. Let's stand and let's sing together.